and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 178. Soon to be 365 if Boris has his way.
Come on, then.
Hello, Simon. Hello, no one. I'm in first. Oh, boys, stop arguing. Maybe I was here for 3 hours before I said anything. No, Simon, it's not open that long. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. Hello, Paul too. How are things down under? Boris, there are no words. Yeah, squeeze the chicken. It makes more sense than Boris. You are going to laugh your little socks off when I tell you how my day started. Yes, I got an email about 2 days ago from the dentist that says before your next appointment, you need to complete this like risk assessment. I thought, what appointment? I've got an appointment. In fact, I had an appointment in June and I never got a reminder and I never bothered turning up for it. So I assume basically they were 3 months behind. So I thought, leave it. You know, they'll get in touch. So they sent me this thing. So I thought, right, I'm not going. It's the short version of this. Too long didn't read version. Elaine's not going. But I thought I'll go and have a look at the risk assessment thing and then, you know, make a judgment as to where we need to be. So before I got a chance to do that this morning, I got a text message. We have booked you an appointment. Now, they originally didn't have my phone number, did they, Mike? Because no one has my phone number. Right. And then all my appointment reminders were going to Mike, so I had to update the phone number. So they actually do have my phone number, but they don't abuse it. So I went back through the list of texts, and it's always, your appointment is on, your appointment is on. But this one says, we have booked you an appointment. So I thought, well, fair enough, where is it? So I looked at it, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Friday. Yeah, this Friday. I'm like, no way. So I had to cancel that. So I started off with cancelling my dental appointment that they wanted to see me with. So she said, would you like to rebook? I said, yep, that's fine. I said, what have you got in March? And she said, next year. I said, yes. This was before Boris locked us all back in again. But that was how the day started. So I put them off. I'm just not ready. I'm not ready. But I did find out they're not charging extra for PPE, unlike Mike's place, where they are. They've also changed their opening hours. Kim will find this interesting, but I don't think she's in yet. They've split it so the dental nurses are working 6-hour shifts rather than like 8 or 9 hour shifts. They are starting earlier so they can take their children into school, etc. So it's 8 till 2 and then another shift from 2 till 8. So they're having to open 12 hours a day to deal with this. But apart from that, they've said they're OK with it. The biggest problem, and I couldn't believe this, didn't even get a chance to tell you this, Mike. Their biggest problem is, and this is why they're sending this list out, the risk assessment, giving you information. You can't go in the place. When you arrive, you have to ring from outside and tell them you're there. And then they will escort you in. But you have to wear a mask. I was wondering how they're going to do any examination with that on as well. But I think it's just till you get in the chair, basically. And their biggest problem is people refusing to wear a mask. What planet are these people from? I can't work that out myself. But then Boris arrived. We're not actually back in a lockdown, but he's locked us down. If you've missed Boris and all his garbage, we are now living by the rule of six. He's not even joking with this. The rule of six. You can only meet up with 6 people at all, inside, outside, wherever. And then he goes through the exceptions. And he's literally stood there and said, and obviously one of the exceptions is if you live in a household of more than 6 people. And I'm like, head desk. Boris, obvious. But you can't meet up if it's more than that. So, you know, like Kath and Kaz. Yeah. They'd be meeting up with her sister, her husband and the 2 kids. And that's 7. So it's 1 too many. So someone's going to have to agree not to go. But having said that, I'm assuming with this six thing, you just go again the next day. So if they went down there, there's the four core family down in wherever they are, and the other three turn up. They can stay in a hotel as a three, because that's only three. Two of them go visit the family, that's six. The following day, a different two go and meet the family. Why don't they just meet as a seven and be done? But if they do, then they're going to be fined. Yes, so it was fabulous. Fabulous day so far.
That's not really the big news of the day, is it?
Is it not the biggest big news of the day?
Have you missed the biggest story of the day?
Go on.
The Kardashians are splitting up. Well, they're not splitting up.
They're a family. Is this allowed?
No, they're not splitting up.
No, I've heard it's come to an end after 14 years. Yeah. Thank God. Did lockdown do it? Because if it did, that's been worth every day. Hello, Deb, CQ, CQ.
I wouldn't know a Kardashian if I fell over one. Would you?
You would. Didn't she try and break the internet with a nude picture? Didn't she have like a pot of tea on her backside?
I don't know.
Have a look online. I'm sure she did. I'm sure that was one of them.
No, because then I'll get in the proxy server. I've been going to Rudy Sykes.
Oh, like my father?
Yeah.
That's a good story. My dad gets a computer. I know he did because I built it for him. Windows box. And he was doing all his radio amateur stuff with it, wasn't he? But the thing was, we were sharing one internet connection throughout the house. So to do that back in the day when it... Was it a dial-up connection? I think it was a dial-up connection. I was trying to share across the house. You needed a proxy server. Now, handily, I had a proxy server. So upstairs, I had a rack with 12 PCs on it, and one of them was our proxy server. So we all had to go through the proxy server because the actual landline connection was connected to the proxy server. So I said to Dad, you know, it's all sorted. You piggybacked on my connection. Da-da-da-da-da. Be aware, the proxy logs will show where you visit. You know, so I was letting him know up front. No naughty noughties. Oh, no, I only want to see radio things. So off he went. First off, didn't he get some kind of virus on Skype? But that's another entire different story.
He got a virus. I spent the last day of one of our laughable holidays trying to fix it.
It was one of our laughable holidays. It was Christmas.
It was Christmas.
I think he got it Christmas Day. Yeah. Only my father could get a virus on Christmas Day. We spent Boxing Day and the rest of the week fixing it.
Don't be coronavirus.
Anyway, back to the original with the proxy server. So
then he moved to a Mac, because Macs don't get viruses.
Do you know, I can't remember what the logic of him going to a Mac was, because he needed a VM, because all his stuff was Windows. Yeah. Anyway, proxy server. So after a week, my mum said, has he been up to any mischief? I said, I don't think so. You know, I've told him that I've got a log of everywhere he's visited. So let's have a look at that, she says. Never trust a man. So he gets the proxy log out. And I was like, he's not that stupid, mother. You know, I've told him we've got this log of everywhere he's visited. Holy Mary, what's that? As I'm looking at this proxy log, good grief, how many porn sites were there on it? So I said to her, yeah, he's visited a couple of radio sites. I said, and then there was this lot. She's looking at the titles of these websites. She's like, I'll string him up. So I said to him, Dad, you know, no. I said, because it's in the proxy logs. He denied it was him, didn't he? Which meant, you know, if it wasn't him, who else was in the house? Because it sure wasn't the dog. That left you. But if he thought he was going to get away with it, you know, if there's anything in there, it's not mine, it must be Mike. I said, No, Dad, your IP address is next to it. It's you. And he still wouldn't have it, would he? Yeah, Mum threatened to cut more than his internet off if he did it again. Needless to say, he never did it again. Oh, my father. The risk assessment some people come out with is laughable. Oh, yes. Your code name would follow. That's CQCQ. My dad was G0IIM. Your dentist said they'd ring you and expect you downstairs. Provide me with a mask and gel if I get ill to rearrange. Then give me a 25-page questionnaire. Oh, good grief. I can imagine that, though. But I just put it off. Put it off. That'll work, Simon. Stupid idiot making objectionable noise, just like my dad. Yeah, that I agree, Jonathan. I made the fatal mistake of watching the press conference. And it's like a moth to a flame, isn't it? Because the second I turned the sound on, Mike turned around and started watching.
I was already watching it.
And we were just like, no, 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 no.
I've been
no.
watching it with my headphones on. So there's no point in me having it on because I was about 5 seconds behind you.
The man's a moron. He goes from bad to worse. And I loved the way... do you remember she disappeared, Laura Kunzberg?
Yeah, I thought that.
She got short shrift. She was one of Boris's bimbos. She went on tour with him and got special access to him, which isn't necessarily a good thing. So she had like unique pieces she could do for the BBC. But towards the end of the press conferences, she would not let go of the Dominic Cummings thing and was virtually banned from the Beeb. Anyway, today she was back. And she asked this question and they were trying to get rid of her. She was followed by Robert Peston, who took up on her point and then asked 2 points of his own. They refused point blank to answer one of his. But when the woman from Sky came on, she tag teamed on the back of his question and took it on. And I thought, there's definitely collusion going on here with the press. But, you know, oh, it was good times. It took me back to March. Press conference every day. Do you know Simon? I can't remember what he was actually doing, which sites it was, but you could tell from the sites that there were not places he wanted to be. But no, I don't think it went as far as that. Oh, Mum realigned his expectations.
Hello.
Something I felt as if I needed to watch. Jonathan, this is how they get you. Something drastic happens and we need to play our part. Left thinking, what was the point in that? It was Simon, a very big blessing. No, I mean, the press conference was like, they'd done the usual, where they'd pre-announced it. So they'd pre-warmed the audience up to know what to expect. So it wasn't a shock. What didn't make any sense to me was, just over a week ago, a week ago today, we were out of lockdown for 12 hours, if you remember, the blissful window of 12 hours. And it was because it was us and Bolton were coming out of lockdown. We were going to stage 3, having been pushed back into stage 2. Obviously, and that decision had been made 2 weeks ago today, but it wasn't being implemented for a week. So the figures were coming down, everything was fine. Local MP, absolutely, let's come out of lockdown. And I said, but the figures are going up. Has anybody noticed the figures are going up? And I felt like I was the only one noticing that the figures were going up. And then obviously that never happened. Well, it did. We were out for 12 hours and then we were back in again. In the meanwhile, Bolton, who were thrown back in us a week ago with us, 7 days ago, their figures got even worse and they got put into a more strict lockdown than I think they were in when we were at a level 1. So I thought the figures still aren't going the right way or they wouldn't be worse. So the chances of us being released were slim to non-existent. And then this thing came up and said it was going to be a global limit to 6 people. And I'm thinking, why? Why do that to people when they're in an area that's relatively safe? Why make it across the country? The figures have got to be worse. They've got to know something that we don't know. They must do, or they wouldn't do that. And he's also saying it's not a second lockdown. Boris, it is. He's not closed the pubs, so there's still money to be had, you know, if you want to eat out. I don't understand it. If he'd have had the balls to leave us in lockdown for 9 to 12 weeks at the beginning of this, I don't think we'd be in this mess now. I really don't. And allowing foreign holidays is just absolutely ludicrous. There's no testing at the airports. You can just swan back in and there's no testing at all. So obviously you are supposed to self-isolate if you're coming back from certain countries. How are they enforcing that? Because they're not stamping you in purple. You know, a purple dye that lasts for two weeks. You just come back through the airport. And if you're coming back from a country that you need to self-isolate from, you're in the same concourse and the same airport and the same baggage claim as people who are from countries that don't. If it were me, I'd shut the airports down. This is probably why I'm not PM. But I think if I was, we'd be in a better position than we are right now. Kim's taken to not listening to politicians. Well, you see, if you watched what Boris did and not what Boris says, he wouldn't make any sense at all. See you, Jonathan. He was today, he made so many mistakes in terms of, like, you know, when a word is similar to another word. So, like, accept and accept. He made so many mistakes with those. I don't know if it was nerves or what. I really don't know. But just so many mistakes. And then he's blustering his way through the questions. But in essence, it is a second lockdown. It is. So you can't meet up if there's more than six of you is the basic rule. And it's known as the rule of six. And I'm just laughing like a drain. And Mike's like, what are you laughing at? And I said, well, you know, I've read Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes books. I said, the sign of four. And obviously Mike's not read the book, but to me it's like the rule of six, the sign of four. It's just ridiculous. It's kind of a tagline that he can put on it. Everything seems to need to be branded. His other grand scheme, which I don't know if Jonathan was aware of, but my eyes were rolling that much, you know, I was spinning. Moonshot. I had not got a clue what that meant. If somebody wants to enlighten me, feel free. But it's a moonshot mass testing plan. So his plan is, bearing in mind, the testing centres have had to close down because they've not got any tests left. But we'll ignore that one for the moment. We'll look at the theory of it before we look at the fact it won't happen because there's no tests. But his grand plan is that every morning a test will be applied to you. And if you are non-contagious, you will be certificated to go to work or go to a football match or go to the theatre. And if you're not, then you've got to stay home. And the tests will be, and he used this analogy, it'll be like a pregnancy test. Well, I'm just, you know, welcome to our world, guys, a pregnancy test. It will give you the results in 20 minutes. But I'm thinking, are you putting people on their honour with this? You know, do you send out like a month's worth of tests to everybody and they're supposed to do one every day? And then if one day they're infected, then they're on their honour not to go out. It involves some kind of certificate that says that you are COVID safe, because you're going to need that when you rock up at the theatre with your ticket for tonight's performance. I said to Mike, anything that can be sold, people will sell. And somebody who is so self-centred to want to go to a football match or the theatre when they are not negative, when they are COVID positive, will buy a certificate. And there will always be somebody there to sell it. Because Mike and I went to probably the most expensive theatre tickets we ever bought were to go to the Lowry Theatre to see Eric Cantona. There was a whole range of different tickets that you could get. Anything from like £50, you're in the back row, to about £3,000, you're meeting him for a champagne reception. And ours were the front three rows with a meet and greet. So all told, that I can't remember when that actually was. It was either when we bought, I think it was the iPhones, but I'm not sure it was the iPhone. No, it wasn't the iPhones we've got now. So it must have been the iPhone 7. And the thing was, I was up, and normally, I think it's 8 o'clock in the UK. When you're ordering your iPhones, it's usually 8 o'clock in the morning, which is midnight on the West Coast. So obviously, given the time I work, 8 o'clock in the morning, not popular with me. Mike was working from home, but he actually had a training course this particular day. So he was sat behind me training. So I'm sitting there waiting to place my order. And I've got all my iPads on the desk. I've got all my computers there. They're all on the same purchase page. And I was just going to grab, I was logged in on every one, and I was just going to grab the one that came alive first and try and order two phones on it. So one came alive. I grabbed it, put the information in. At the point I added it to the basket, launch day delivery. By the time I got through, not launch day delivery. So I was seething, absolutely seething about this thing with the phones. I know what year it was. It was the year we went to Nidhall. So it must have been 2016, which would be right, to have those phones for 3 years. So I was seething. I was so angry, I couldn't go back to bed. The plan was I was going to go back to bed. But I couldn't go back to bed because I was so annoyed. Mike knew something was going on, despite the fact that he was training. So thinking the day was going to be a complete fiasco, it improved because as I'm sat there, absolutely seething about these two iPhones, an email comes through from the Lowry. And I literally did that thing of like, who's that mail from? The Lowry. Yeah, whatever, delete. And as I deleted, I thought, just a minute, back up a step. And in the subject line, you know, the latest and greatest at the Lowry, blah, 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 and Eric Cantona. I went, just a minute, let me have a look at that mail. So 25 minutes after I would have gone to bed, only I was so annoyed, I didn't. I opened this mail from the Lowry, and it was about these Eric tickets. So at this stage, I'm like, oh, you know, Eric's coming to the Lowry. Luckily, Mike was taking a break. So I said, have you seen these? Eric's coming to the Lowry? No. So between 8:05 and 8:25, this particular day, I managed to order two iPhones, not for the right day delivery, but I'd ordered them. And these two tickets, no, did we go twice that time?
I can't remember.
I think we did. You ordered one and I ordered the other. And four tickets to see Eric Cantona. So I then tweeted out, you know, phones ordered, etc. I've only been out of bed 35 minutes and I've spent £4,600. I think I need to call it a day. So that's how expensive these tickets were. Were they around £800 a piece or something like that? It was obscene. But we decided, you know what? We don't go on holiday. I certainly don't have a new car. No, we don't have new cars. If I want to see Eric Cantona, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend my money on that. So I did. But the point being, in relation to this COVID thing, if that had have happened and you've spent that kind of money on tickets, to give somebody a couple of £100 for a certificate to say that you're fit, of course you would. Who wouldn't? No, obviously I wouldn't. But normal people, when you can't get a refund on the tickets, normal people would. Absolutely. It doesn't make economic sense not to. Sounds like Boris is trying to get the economy up and running again. Absolutely he is. He does not want to close schools. He has schools, universities and places of work, and that's all he cares about. And the fact it could kill the rest of us, he doesn't give a toss. He really does not give a toss. And that's coming out loud and clear. But it will come back and bite him on the backside.
He doesn't give a toss and he hasn't got a clue.
No, he hasn't got a clue. I didn't think he could possibly be as bad as the last one. But, you know, each one amazes me that they are. The better way to get the economy going would have been to close very hard, very early with extensive tests. I totally agree. Simon, do you want to be PM? I'm hearing it, you know, on the underground. Doesn't take much. There might be an opening. So if you were interested, you'd get my vote. I think if he'd have locked us down the first week in March, before, because Ireland went in first, didn't they, and closed all the schools. And they did it so far in front of us doing it that we were like, what? Is it that serious? Wow. Because Boris was like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Did I mention it's fine? Oops, it's not fine. He is a complete idiot. But yeah, I'd have gone with Simon's plan. Shut the airports. And then as soon as you know, you can't shut the airports like en masse, can you? Some people are going to have to come in and out. You're going to have deliveries of PPE for a start. But when I say shut the airports, shut them until you can put testing in place. Nobody gets in and out the airport without a test. We're an island, for crying out loud. So technically, you know, it can't come in unless somebody comes in via a boat or via a plane. And that was what actually happened, wasn't it? All the original cases were down south where people were coming back. Somebody had come over on a boat near Dover somewhere, was one of the very first ones. And then there were like clusters around places where there had been big events. Do you remember Cheltenham? Mm. It went ahead.
Yeah.
And now, well, not now, but, you know, within 2 weeks, there was a massive cluster around Cheltenham. Anybody could see that this was going to happen, and they did nothing about it. He did squander what he'd seen. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Italy, the saga with Italy, according to the news here, was not particularly the number of cases, although that was one aspect of it. But it was more the way the health service couldn't cope with the number of cases. And all they kept going on about was protecting the NHS. And then save lives was the last bit at the end, wasn't it? What was it? Something, something, save lives. Protect the NHS and save lives. Yeah. What was the first line? Oh, how quickly we forget.
Stay home, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it? Stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. Lives are the most important thing, and he is prepared to play Russian roulette with people's lives just to get the schools open. I mean, he's saying that the children have to be back at school. It will irreparably damage their education if they're not. Schools in Australia are out in the middle of nowhere, 3,000 miles from civilization, and those children get an education. So up your game, Boris.
I was this morning... I was watching a video on the news, this totally changing the subject, of these wildfires in America. And it mentioned Washington, which I know is where Kim is. And it mentioned this little town. Anyway, I'm thinking, is it really near Kim? And when you Google it, it's like 300 miles away. You forget how big America is.
America is huge, yeah.
So it's like saying, oh, there's a fire in London.
Yeah, and we're not seeing the smoke is the answer to that. No, I know what you mean. But I'm just thinking, the world has changed. Will it ever get back to where we were? And I'm thinking 6 months in, and we are 6 months this week, aren't we? It's not looking like that. I've got a serious question to ask everybody then. You know, yesterday when I said, never mind putting these maroons in a week at a time, I'll just do it up to December. Should I just carry on for the anniversary? Because I think we'll still be sat here. In fact, I've got a lovely quote from Paul that I put in. I've got this note and I just randomly like copy and paste stuff into it. And there was a lovely quote from Paul. It was March. And he said, I absolutely could do 6 months with marooned. Congratulations, Paul. Well predicted. Should I just do that? Let's have a look. Same news here. Eldest daughter sent home from care home where she works. Colleague tested positive. We're all isolating. Oh, God. And then 2 more weeks. It's like Groundhog Day, isn't it? It's totally ridiculous. And that's how it happens. And do you... These tests? I mean, they're talking now about the tests, the 20-minute tests, which is grand. I don't know if anybody from outside the UK has also heard the latest news about the vaccine. Not happening. The programme's been... It's on pause because one of the victims, sorry, volunteers, that's a wrong V word there, Freudian slip, has taken really badly with it. Now, Mike's saying, because you would know, wouldn't you, with where you work, that it has to be stopped if anybody gets ill.
I'm just going off what I read on the website.
Yes, and that might be true. But they actually said in the story, and let's be honest, they're going to be downplaying it rather than upplaying it. They actually said serious, serious side effects. Well, the last time that happened in the UK, do you remember that trial and there was men were involved? It wasn't for women. They actually died. So when they say serious side effects, you know, the next thing you'll hear is that they're actually dead because that's what happened last time. But we shall see how that one goes. But at the moment, the Oxford trials are not happening. But Boris is thinking everything will be fine. You know, we put a little test in a plastic bag, pop it through your door and you'll be good to go. And I'm thinking, no, Boris. No, 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 Boris. You've heard about the pause. So that's made worldwide news. Missed a bit about what's the serious side effect. We don't know what the serious side effect is because they're not sharing it, Simon. But basically, two of the volunteers in the Oxford trial have had serious adverse reactions to it. Serious enough, they've closed the programme down, but they won't say what the serious side effects were. But whatever they are, it's not good news. I mean, those volunteers were fit and healthy. if you're trying to give this vaccine to people who, you know, by definition are vulnerable, I can only imagine the almighty mess. I'm coming to the conclusion. I mean, I'm now planning for the next 6 months. So I'm working on the principle that things like after hours, we were planning them about 3 to 4 weeks in hand before all this happened. And that was because we would need a poster, and for that you need a date. So the first piece of information that we have when we come to plan something is what date we're doing it. And we even had a rule. So over Maroon started 2 years ago in November. So almost 2 years ago. And the rule was we do it on a Friday at 9 o'clock, unless we can't do Friday, in which case we do Saturday. If we can't do Saturday, then it's a YouTube premiere and it's on Friday. And that was the rule. And you know, there were things like we were away for a weekend, we were at a concert, we went to a dinner party thing, a ladies' night. So there were times it had to jiggle. What's actually a breath of fresh air now is that Mike and I sat and looked at the calendar in our holiday, which didn't turn out to be a laughable holiday. No, not this time. I'm thinking people are the problem with our laughable holidays. Sat down and looked at it and said, I said, well, I'll do it up to Christmas. Yeah, I'll do it up to New Year. So I have posters, I have dates, I have placeholders in Notion up to the end of the year. But I'm now saying to Mike, why don't we just do the next 6 months and be done? I'm optimistic. Kim's looking at 2 to 3 years. I actually do agree with you. I mean, I think it's going to be a year. And when I booked this dental appointment, were you in when I talked about my dental appointment, Kim? That just put yes or no in there. Were you in? But when I was thinking about my dental appointment, I thought, I can't really say, can you book me in for, 2024? So it was like, right. So what happened, Kim, was I got an email a couple of days ago, only about 36 hours ago, from my dentist, saying, can you read this thing all about the risk assessment in processes for coming in? And I thought, yeah, fine, I'll get around to that. So I put a star on it in Gmail, and that was that, because I haven't got an appointment. This morning, unceremoniously woken up at stupid o'clock with a text that said, we've booked you an appointment. Now, all my other texts say you have an appointment, so I would have known about these appointments, but they're obviously going through like a backlog and doing the best they can. And they sent me a text that said, we have booked you an appointment. And I thought, that's nice. Not happening, but go on. When? Friday. This Friday. Like the day after tomorrow. So I thought, going to have to ring them and explain. That's not happening. But I thought, good opportunity to have a quick chat, see how the land lies. They've changed their working hours. So they've split the day into two sections, 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon till 8 in the evening. So the practice is having to open another 3 hours to accommodate it. There's rules that you can't go in. You've got to ring them when you get to the car park. When they do take you in, you know, they will give you a mask outside the place and take you in. And then you get escorted to wherever it is that you're going to go, and you will be dealt with from there. So I said, yeah, can't make it. So I said, but, let's reschedule. So she said, fine, you know, let me just move forward. I think she was thinking like a week or two. I said, March 2021. No, I said March. And she said, next year. I said, yes. So I'm provisionally booked in. I took your tip at 8:30 in the morning, which is their first appointment. So the place is clean, is my logic. For both. So it's what we call a hex appointment. It's hygienist and dentist. I don't see that happening. I'll be honest with you. I don't see it happening. I think you're very in the ballpark with 2 to 3 years. I genuinely, it's not going to be less than a year. I would prefer to be there in the afternoon, but I took your advice and I'm like, 8:30. And did you know what I thought in the end? I just won't go to bed. I'll just go straight there. If I'm of an opinion that, you know, risk-wise, I'll take that risk. But I'm very risk-averse, and I honestly can't see it happening. But I did take your advice, just in case. But I do agree with you. At a minimum, because Boris is just going to keep pushing. And the thing is, it's not that people agree with him. It's the fact that he's basically telling them what they want to hear, that it's safe to go outside. He even today, we were talking about the journalists. There's Laura Kunzberg, there's Robert Peston, and this woman from Sky whose name escapes me. They were tag teaming him because I don't think the journalists like the way he doesn't actually answer the darn questions. So they asked him a question, and then they can add a question, and they added a question to ask the two medics either side of him. It's like the Three Stooges, about schools and the situation in schools. And they're saying, well, the spread isn't great in schools at the moment. I thought, you're lying through your teeth, because there's 64 schools in Northern Ireland with an outbreak. Now, I know that is Northern Ireland, but that actually is within the United Kingdom. I think it goes Great Britain is Scotland, England and Wales, and the United Kingdom is Scotland, England, Wales and Northern Ireland. So it's part of Britain, no matter whether you like it or not. And they've got 64 outbreaks. We know in Manchester there are outbreaks, and there must be really serious outbreaks in Salford because they're rolling out a special scheme there. And you've got to think about the children cross-infecting the families of other children. You've got the teachers involved. It's just going to be just the biggest mess on the planet. And by the time you add into it, and which they've said, flu season's coming. So we've sat down and contemplated, do we actually need to go out? And the answer is no. No, we don't. So it doesn't look like we'll be going out at all. So, in better news, more Maroons. And in better news, Apple event next week. So yeah, life can carry on even if we're in isolation, thanks to the wonders of technology. I mean, when I sit here and I think of what you would have to go out for, you know, Amazon have been a godsend. The supermarkets have been amazing because they now, I mean, they managed to get food to us during the beginning of this, although it was like playing whack-a-mole trying to get a slot, but they did deliver. I remember at the very beginning when it was like the first deliveries we had, they used to tell you who, now this was when it was Morrison's via Prime Now, they would tell you who your deliverer was. And I was printing out like an A4 piece of paper with a big smiley face on it that said thank you and then the name on it and just putting it on the door. I felt, you know, they were the key workers. You know, why can't we just sack all the politicians? Because they're not doing much, are they? But the key workers who were keeping the country going, pretty amazing. And the supermarkets have got it now. So when Mike's placed... Mike had an order issue last weekend. He came to place the order to find that Tesco's didn't have any fresh food in. They had zero in terms of any kind of salad stuff or any kind of fruit. So he said, well, there's no point ordering two tins of beans, is there? So he went on to Asda and they promised that they had this and that and all he needed. So he placed the order with them and cancelled the Tesco's order. So this is Friday night for Saturday. Saturday arrives and Asda tell him that half the order's missing. So they do manage to get the fruit here and they do manage to get the salad here. But there was other bits and pieces like sliced meat and stuff that was missing. So Mike goes online and tries to get a Tesco order and he managed to get one for the next day. So despite the fact that many, many more people are ordering online, they're now handling it within 24 hours. I think they've been amazing. Hello, Anthony. Right, let's have a look. A Spanish flu, 2 to 3 years. It's a bit like when we were talking about the Black Death, isn't it? And I said, well, how did the plague and the Black Death die out? Because there was no vaccine. And it was apparently the sensible one staying at home. Which is the Macarooners. Yes, we're the sensible ones staying at home, entertaining ourselves. It could well be 3 years. Right. Drug manufacturers not testing vaccines, taking a pledge to not skip any steps in getting the vaccine. They have, and that's the story that's coming out today. That's their line today. Their line today is it'll take the time it takes and that's that. But the other problem that you've got is with stories like that coming out where there's serious side effects, there was only 50% of the population said they were prepared to take it to start with. And that didn't include me, to be honest. I'm not anti-vax, but I have concerns about this one. I had concerns about the flu one to start with. I definitely have concerns about this one. I would never say never, but I'd want to be as sure as I could possibly be that it was as safe as it could possibly be, and that they'd tested it to the point that they can tell you what the contraindications are for having it at all. And that always seems to be the bit that slips through the cracks. I've actually worked on cases where children who were born perfectly healthily ended up in wheelchairs, dribbling, just because of a vaccine. Not a vaccine that's not generally safe, but a vaccine that they had pre-existing conditions that should have indicated it was a contraindication to taking the vaccine in the first place. And the doctor just totally missed that, gave it to them. That was the end of that. So the contraindications are the most important part to me. And no one said a word. No one said anything about, you know, who they're busy telling you everybody should have it, but they're not saying who shouldn't have it. And that's my first question. Who should not have that and why? No idea on that yet. Let's have a look. Anthony's enjoying Tesco. Priority slot. Always been able to get a slot. Wow. And the time you got two free fillet steaks. We did have something delivered that wasn't something of ours, and we let them know. But I think it was at least 3-4 months ago. And they're very, very good at just saying, keep it. They don't really want stuff back, which is, yeah. And what's it did that? Morrison's as well. Morrison's, on one occasion, there was an item, and I'd ordered one. That was right. It was a treat. Do you remember? I said, I just fancied this treat, gluten-free treat. And I thought, fancy that. But every other item, there was a limit of three. So three, 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 three. And one of those as a treat. And they put three in the bag. These treats were like £7.50 each. So I get onto them and said, you've put three and I only ordered one. And it was like, did we? Don't worry about it. Keep it. Enjoy it. So I'm like, that'll do me nicely. No, they have. They've been amazing. They really have. Way more than the government, if I might just say that. But we know what the government are like. Let's have a look. Kim will ask about taking it. I would just like full information, and I don't think I'm going to get it. I think I've still got a doctor. But you know what's a bit weird? I've not had any of those weird letters. You know, the ones have come in and let us poke you with a stick.
Yeah,
I haven't had one of those in a while.
No.
Mind you, that could be because I told her where to stick it last time she did. But it doesn't usually stop her because she gets paid for that, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She has a certain criteria to fill. And the only criteria that I tick a lot of boxes with is as an NHS doctor, she has patients on her list. So if she has like 20,000 patients on her list, then she will get paid for 20,000 patients. But she doesn't actually have to see them. In fact, she'd rather she didn't. She gets like a flat fee for each person on her list. She hasn't seen me since 1992. So I'm a fabulous earner because every year since then, she has been paid for having me on her list. The fly in the ointment with that is she will get snotograms through from the government with their schemes. You know, they're things like smear tests and other hideous contemplate. They're just too bad for me to even think about those things. And they, from the government, have to entice people in to have them done. So it's things like diabetes tests, you name it. There is a scheme for it. And she must, from her list, reach a certain percentage who will go in and will have these tests, and I won't. So if I was having a test, I would be going privately. So I don't know whether I'm actually still on the list. I rang up and I have a recording of the phone call that assures me that I am. So I'm holding on to that for evidence. They do get extra payments if you have a health check. So it's financially beneficial to them. But they also have to reach a certain percentage of their list. So they don't really want anybody on the list. If you think about it, it's a bit of a balancing act, isn't it? Because if every single person on your list was more than willing to take these tests, they are more likely to be your I'm always ill people. That you're likely, so it suits you from a perspective of financially, they're partaking in these extra initiatives and that gives you money. But they're likely to be the kind of, there's a word, isn't there? I'm thinking kleptomaniac, but that's the wrong one. Narcissists, they just like visiting the doctor. The ones that rock up because, you know, there's a why in the day. And that would overrun the practice. So there is a sweet spot between the two. And I'm just hoping I'm clinging on that I am very low maintenance. Very, very low maintenance. And I have done the thing of going privately for something. Hypochondriac, that's the word, not kleptomaniac. Although one and the same. Yeah, kleptomaniac, they're stealing her time. They are. Yeah, they. My aunt used to do that. She had a rolling appointment every 6 weeks. She now knows if she makes a noise in the show, she might be offered a treat. Yeah. Listen to her. Yes, Daddy?
She's done a lot of running around. So she could be hungry.
You reckon? She, well, I'll tell you what.
Give us that jumbo.
If she's hungry, she'll have the jumbo that she spat back at us before because there was a dentist stick on offer. So here we go. This is the jumbo making an appearance to Daddy.
Right. Here's jumbo. Jumbo.
Don't think you'll find she does.
Jumbo.
You've
just been grumpy.
I know. I do want a jumbo.
No.
I stand.
She's spitting it.
No, I think she just needs a slave to hold it. There you go, she's eating it. You need to know her little foibles, Mike.
I know all the little foibles.
Oh, she's so spoiled, aren't you?
She dragged me around a tree today.
Really?
Yes. Chasing a squirrel. It wasn't on the park, it was on the avenue.
Lola, what would you do if you caught one? Mayer nearly discovered that, didn't he, when he found that dead one?
Well, she's found a dead one.
Oh, Lola.
As close as she's had.
Yeah, don't let her anywhere near it. Stealing the magazines in the waiting room. No, seriously, my aunt used to go every 6 weeks. And every 6 weeks she had some kind of chest infection. But she was a smoker. And she hurt her foot. I don't know how this works either. She hurt her foot and ended up with CPOD. Is it COPD? COPD. And I think it was because she was then off her feet. Because she'd hurt her foot, she wasn't walking at all. And then next minute she's on oxygen. So maybe she was right. But I'd rather not go because I'm healthy. And if I'm healthy, why would I go? Hello, Tracy. Do you know, I think they've banned magazines in the waiting rooms now because of COVID. So you're pretty much just sat there waiting, I guess. Or in my dentist's case, you're not allowed to sit down. You're in and you're out. It's like a conveyor belt. I'm still dubious. And also, when you look at the statistics in the UK, they're saying, we've got to stop the second wave. We've got to stop the second wave. And you look at the diagram and think, what part of that don't you understand? We are in the middle of the second wave. Anyway, to give you something funny, this one is good.
I was going to give you something funny.
Let me go with mine first. I got an Amazon Recommends book this morning. It says, like, you know, Amazon recommends this book for you. And sometimes it's like, oh, that looks interesting. And sometimes it's like, what would I want with that? But I thought you'd all appreciate this one that Amazon recommended. Must have seen that picture of the hedge we put up the other night. I would have done the hedge, but it's raining again.
Yeah.
I, do you know, I'm of the mind, let's leave the hedge. We'll do it once this year, yeah, instead of the usual 20 times and call it productivity. Yeah. Right. You are not having any more,
Shall
Lola.
Shall I tell my story?
You are an oink girl.
Because I've got to go down and do the dinner.
Yes, that's fine. Where you go?
In the UK, we have a chain of stores called Wilko's. So UK people know about this. It's a kind of...
It's a great store, Wilko's.
It sells...
Haberdashery, isn't it, yeah, really? Years ago, it'd have been a haberdashery, I think.
Anyway, they've got one in sale, and it's weird because... As you go through the front door, you can actually walk right through the store. Not through the whole store, but you can go along that sort of front area. And there's an exit on the other side, which takes you to another part of sale. So somebody said, I think the saddest part about the new restrictions is Wilko's will presumably now never open their back entrance. So we're resigned to walking all the way around. Somebody says having to walk through a store to get to the shopping square was the most stupid idea anyway. Somebody else says I've seen a shoplifter leg it out of that door because there was never anyone on the tills at that end. It was a paradise for them. Somebody else says I don't think anyone should be pressured into using their back entrance. So then in comes our friend Stuart, who said, thought for a moment this was a continuation of the Stretford House sex party story that we talked about last night. So I said to Stuart, I said, trust you to pick up on that. Mind you, so did I, and we discussed it on last night's Maroons at McVite's headquarters. Lady pipes are so yesterday. Is what I put to Stuart.
I don't know why with Morrison's, because Wilco's, because it's, this just seems either this is a very, 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 very massive coincidence, but you know, Morrison's in Eccles.
Yeah.
There is a Wilco opposite Morrison's. So there's a Morrison's supermarket, which is huge and has a huge car park. Then there's the bus and tram terminal. And then on the other side of the road, there's this Wilco store. And I went in there probably about a year ago now, to be honest. I don't think it was this year. I think it must have been last year. But I drove over there. Yeah, it must have been because we didn't have Lola, did we? So I drove down there and I'm thinking, I checked online if what I wanted was in, but I'm thinking, I don't know how it could be because this store is so tiny. It's about the size of a tiny little newsagent's. So I parks up in Morrison's, goes across the road, enters Wilco's to discover it's like the TARDIS.
Yeah.
I'd actually gone through the back entrance.
That's somebody said that in that thread.
Yeah, that there's another one in Eccles.
Yeah, Eccles it was, I think. Same thing.
Yeah.
Right, I'll go and sort dinner.
Right, you go sort dinner. Okay, okay.
Right, what are you doing?
Yes, my rewilding book. To make nature more visible. See, this is it. I need to look at the hedges as making nature more visible, not making the road less visible. See what I did there? Oh, yeah, that'll work really, really well. So all chaos at the moment in the UK. How is it anywhere else? Have you had your rules changed? It'll only get worse, I fear, because there's lots of breakouts in schools and they're not admitting it. They are so not admitting it. So it's just a matter of time. So shall I plan the next year's worth, do you think? Shall take us up to our first birthday? Mind you, you know, that would incorporate quite a lot, wouldn't it? We could celebrate the Apple event together. And then we'd have all of the Black Friday stuff to discuss. Oh, and we could share Bonfire Night, Halloween, and the Black Friday come Thanksgiving. That would be amazing. Then we could have the lead up to Christmas, share Christmas. We've already got a show planned Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. Then into next year, oh, we do the Advent thing. Do the Advent thing. So every year we do a mail every day with freebies in for Advent. So we would be doing the Advent thing. The live sessions that are planned for Q4. And then into next year, January's fairly quiet usually. Tax season, 8 January. But yeah, we could do that. Burns Night. We could have a virtual Burns Night. That'd work. New Year celebrations. Because you usually do that with Kevin. We usually, he shares our new year and then he has his new year. He's in Virginia. So is that 7 hours? 6, 5? I'm not sure. He's in Virginia. Which would take us up to, oh, February. We could do Valentine's Day. We've also got our NaNoWriMo project, whatever that might be. Shall we create a marooned NaNoWriMo project that doesn't have to be a book of any description? And then there might be another Apple event in October because they are playing down greatly the thought that the iPhone will be released with this one. Because they're virtual, Apple can do what they like when they like. This one is supposed to be pitched at the watch. And that the iPhone will be later and it will have another event in October. So we might be able to do it all again then. But then obviously in February, what can we do in February? We've got Valentine's Day in February. And we'll be planning for our first anniversary. Do you know, that would be actually pretty amazing, because 365 days would be 360 days more than we ever intended. And of course, we've got our after hours as well. And aren't we doing nice with the shows? Now, I know Jonathan's disappeared, but 1, 3, 4. Can I just say, when we reach the dizzying heights of 1, 3, 4, that is the 12th show of the year. It's a miracle, or it will be when it happens. And from then on, I collect an extra point for every MacBytes. I'm going to need a permanent page on the website with the current state of play. We probably do need to give Jonathan a way to claw back some points, though, don't we? I might set him the challenge of a MacBytes marathon. That's what I might do. A MacBytes marathon for the uninitiated. And don't try this at home yet. The MacBytes Marathon is where you listen to every episode of MacBytes from 2007 to the present day, back to back. Now, the reason I say don't try this right now, early on, trying to get the levels right on the audio was a nightmare. So, because of that, I'm reprocessing each one to get the levels right. I think I'm up to number 3. So, obviously, I need to up my game with that one if there is to be a challenge of a MacBytes Marathon. But I will do that. And then we could possibly challenge Jonathan to a MacBytes marathon. Oh, and we'd also need the quiz, the MacBytes quiz. Because remember when I inadvertently put a quiz, which was the Brooklyn's quiz, on the MacBytes calendar. And Tracy was like, I'm really looking forward to this. And I said, looking forward to what? And then there's a quiz on the calendar. Whoops. So we can have a MacBytes quiz. Oh, with a winner, I think, with prizes. So there's the next 6 months planned. Yay! The early shows, you sound to be about 16 years old. I think that was probably the microphone. I tell you what I take from the early shows. Sounded petrified. Because when we started, it was a case of... It was born out of our local Mac group, which was called the Northwest Mac Users Group. And we'd been going there since... I think the first meeting was August 2006. We found it in the back of a Mac magazine and we were like, oh, I wonder what goes on. Let's go. Yeah, it's only up the road. So it's probably about 18, 20 miles away. So we went, and that very first meeting, there was another guy there and it was his first meeting. And there was also a guy called Jack and Andrew. Now, Jack was about 86. And he had the most amazing Mac collection. He'd done very well for himself in business and he invested that in Mac stuff. So he was really savvy with it. And he had a sidekick with him called Andrew, who was probably in his 50s, who used to drive him to the meetings. And this Jack was sharp as a tack. So he was like, what do you do? So we were like, you won't understand what we do. So we said, we kind of teach. We teach people computers. Oh, we totally underestimated him. That case, you could probably give us a really good talk here at the Mac Club, you know, because people are quite shy and they don't like talking. And we went, yeah, we probably could. So he signed us up for the next month. Mine was September. And I remember it was September because I didn't have a laptop. I was still waiting for the laptop. So I took my iMac. I got a special cable for the back of it that hooked it up to their projector and I carried my iMac out to do a presentation. Well, the guy whose first meeting it was, that was Mikey B. So he was our third presenter. And I think we all sounded petrified because all you'd got in your head was how everybody else did it. And we realised Mike stayed with us for, I think it was 6 episodes, and then he left. And we took a bit of a break with like, well, what is MacBytes now? There's the two of us. What do we want it to be? What is it, etc. So we took a bit of a break, but then we usually do, don't we? And when we came back, between episode 7 and episode 24, I would say we were finding our feet and finding our voice. And then when episode 24, I was planning for episode 24, and at the beginning of the episode, I said to Mike, I've got an idea. And he went, what? And I said, well, it's episode 24. And you know the series 24, where there used to be like the Segway, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I said, I've got to put that in. So, you know, and whatever he said at the beginning, we had a line at the beginning and I used that as the intro to the show. And that to me was when we were like, we're now doing it our way. You know, we don't want to sound like anybody else's podcast. We don't want to be told like, you should be doing it this way, you should be doing that. No, it's a podcast. Podcast can be anything you like. This is how we want to do it. And the rest is history, as they say. We did have somebody else join us, of course, in 2011. The autumn of 2011, MacBite Siri made his first appearance. If Johnny wins, he gets points for the scoreboard. Right, let's... Yes, but it's what? Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. We could give him a certain amount of points to put on the scoreboard, couldn't we? Yeah, I'm quite liking that idea. So obviously we've got all those shows to go back through to find the most weird questions about MacBites. So I'm thinking a MacBites marathon is definitely going to be in order. Ah, so pretty much that's going to take us the year, isn't it? So our anniversary would be when? It'd be the 16th of March, wasn't it? This year. So if we take that forward, that should technically be a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It's a Tuesday. So what else is happening on that day? Nothing. Did anybody bother with a diary this year? Are you buying one for next year? Good job, mine's digital. Actually, mine's full. Mine's full of all the stuff that I actually do. But yeah, we could definitely do that. So Kim definitely thinks we'll be here next March. I remember you saying you love the advent mails. We've done that for years. The one year we couldn't, I got terribly behind. Because they were handwritten, I remember that. And I've actually got somewhere the notes that I made. I was downstairs with Mum after her diagnosis. And I was sat there with my ARC notebook and a pen, which was very unusual for me. And I said to Mike, how many days behind are we? And he said, I think it was about 3 or 4. I said, I can't do it. And he said, I know. I said, leave it to me. I'll write something. And I actually wrote it out by hand in a pen that said, like, you know, as per usual at MacBites headquarters, things aren't going to plan, blah, blah, blah. But what we were doing was we were making a special offer available every day. So back then we had video recordings of our sessions and they were available for sale on the website. And what we did every day during Advent was we put the price of one of them down to £5. So people would wait for the one they wanted to buy for the day it was on offer. So every day there was a different mail and every day there was a different offer on a video of £5. So what I said in this thing was, I said, so, you know, we didn't want to disappoint you because, you know, we do this every year. Here's what we're going to do. And I put the price of everything down to £5 and said, and it'll be £5 until the end of the year. And we hope that we'll be back soon. And I explained that Mum wasn't well and it was about the worst news that we could get. And we didn't know when we would be able to come back. And I didn't really expect anything. I thought people would be quite annoyed. But what actually happened was I heard from so many people who sent in little notes saying, you know, you've been through it already. Because I'd done a eulogy for my dad and a eulogy for Maya. And now we were facing it again with Mum. And I thought then they're going to think that, you know, it's like the house of death here. But they were absolutely amazing. The number of mails we got, and there's me snivelling over them. People like, you take all the time you need. We'll be here when you get back. Give your mum our best regards. Oh, you're just amazing. Amazing. And then I think we were off for about 3 months. And when we came back, obviously I did this piece about Mum. I can't remember. Was it show? Could have been around somewhere around show 100, I think. So I did this piece about Mum and months later, that was the last, that we did this show at the end of March, but then my teeth thing kicked in and I thought, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to speak. I don't know what state I'm going to be in after I've had all this work. So when we came, it was August, I think. So by August, I was the our week's holiday in August of that particular year, I was going into surgery to have all the implants put in. So I thought, I'm definitely not going to be able to speak that week. So we met up with a podcast group and there was this couple. They'd never heard the show. So we gave their show a listen and they gave our show a listen. And she got in touch with me and she said, I did say to her, I said, oh, well, you might want to skip the end, you know, But she'd listened to the whole thing. And she got in touch with me and she said, when you said you might want to skip the end, she said, I thought you meant like contact us, listen next week, blah, blah, blah. She said, but, you know, I listened. And at the end is this eulogy for Mum. And she said, I just cried my eyes out. I said, sorry about that. Right, my dinner's arrived. Oh, you're very early today, Mike. Right, I'm going to have to go and eat it before he gets... No, it's fine, before he gets annoyed.
I'm not going to get annoyed.
You never get annoyed, do you?
Slaved over a hot stove.
Oh, emotional blackmail. Loving it, loving it. No, that's it. I'm off. Oh, I wish they could smell it. I could take a picture. But I actually just want to eat it, so yeah. I'll leave it at that. We will, of course, be back with you tomorrow. Oh, now I had a comment there. It's a nice little family atmosphere. Thank you, Simon. Are we still live? I had to step away from the computer. Yes, we were, but we're not now. We're going to not be. And Kim's spending more time with MacBites than anything except Kiva. Oh. It's our pleasure. Our pleasure. Doesn't matter if it's a year. I'm not going to mention 10 years. It doesn't matter if it's a year or longer. We can do this. Come on, we can do this. I will see you tomorrow, team. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.